Michigan State is so good right now. They're playing the best basketball in the nation. They're not losing this game.
The line's at 17. No. I'd bet if it was 30 in favor on Michigan State. So, yeah, this is a game that, Jason said, even if Bryn Forbes isn't on his night, then Michigan State should still win this handily. MSU is going to prevail. They're going to enforce their style of play upon Middle Tennessee, and I think we'll see this game over in 10 minutes. I'm going to go with the Spartans 86 to Middle Tennessee 58.
Oh, wow. Big blowout there. Okay. Big blowout.
Michigan State will utilize their weapons. They are as deep as the ocean floor. Similar score. I'm just going to go with Isaac's score here.
Not you just. Okay, knocking off his score. I like that. All right,
I'll piggyback on you.
I'll go with, like, 85 to 55.
A high score for Michigan State. You guys think they're really going to ball out and score a lot of points?
Yeah,
okay.
I think they'll pile it on.
I'm gonna say 66-52.
So low scoring. Okay.
I'm gonna say low scoring. Yeah, I'm going 66-52 Michigan State. All right, again, Michigan State and Middle Tennessee, 2:50 p.m.
Behind the 3-point line. Kick it, Upshaw, number three. Shot clock at 8, Raymond the point guard, looking for some room, Valentine closes out, fouls him, and it goes! And a chance at 4.
See, hustle, effort, Jaquan Raymond is, him and Giddy Potts are doing a 50-50.
Giddy Potts, he doesn't need a lot of room. Knocks down another 3. Almost a turnover. 10 on the shot clock, and it goes down. Giddy Potts. Huge shot for the Raiders. Inside, knocked away. Raymond got it. A steal. And here come Middle Tennessee. Wide to the lane, give it up. Upshaw, throwdown, and a foul.
Unbelievable play by Middle Tennessee.
There was pressure. They put it on me and I put it on them. I ain't gonna change as long as I'm here. That's why you come here. Come here to win a few games. Do that at Northern Michigan. Come here to try to win a championship, and that's the pressure. If that's pressure, as hard as these guys worked, if it's pressure to have to come into this tournament, that's sad because pressure was what they did when nobody was watching. And they did it all spring, summer, and fall. So, I love pressure. I'm gonna keep putting it on.
Tom, how do you take a loss like this and turn it into something to motivate the guys going forward next year?
Not to insult you, just a ridiculous question. I don't care about next year. I don't care about tomorrow. That's the problem, you know. It's always what's next. It's always, you know, there's 3 guys here that gave me every single thing they had. And I don't care about next year. I don't even care about tomorrow right now. I just care about the present and what they did for me, for us. And somehow I got to make sure that in all this disappointment, that does not get lost. Because that's the problem with sports. It does get lost. And somebody's not happy unless they win it all. It just was disappointing that we didn't move farther than we did, but I learned nothing, 0 for next year. I got 200 days to worry about next year, and I ain't gonna worry about it one bit today. Sorry, too, by the way.
Thank you. from WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Stunned, confused, in awe, befuddled, bewildered. I could go on and on, folks. I still can't believe that Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball team are no longer playing in this year's NCAA men's tournament. It was a bit weird after Friday was said and done, and the games continued on to Saturday and Sunday, that I wasn't sitting back and watching at least one Sparty game. Yeah. Well, you heard the banging intro. We, of course, will talk all things Michigan State. What does this loss mean for Tom Izzo and the Spartans? And what are the takeaways from this past season? I certainly have some strong thoughts. I encourage you all to call in and give yours. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We will also, to add on to the craziness that was the NCAA men's basketball tournament, it's a tough weekend. It was a tough weekend to be a Spartan fan, seeing as though the MSU women's basketball team were also eliminated from tourney play as they fell to Mississippi State yesterday. In the waning moments, a game in which they should have had at least one more shot with 3 seconds left on the clock. We'll break down what occurred to Susie Merchant's team on the road. And, of course, we will give you an update on what took place in the tournament overall as the Sweet 16 is now set. So, again, folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But first, here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and one of the biggest upsets in NCAA tourney history, the 2-seed Michigan State Spartans fell at the hands of 15-seed Middle Tennessee on Friday, 90-81. The final, the Blue Raiders used a hot shooting to jump out to a 15-2 lead and never trailed once on the way to pulling off the shocker. Blue Raider big man Reggie Upshaw led the way with 21 points. And as a team, Middle Tennessee shot 58% from behind the three-point line. The loss marks the end of the college careers of four Spartan seniors, that being Denzel Valentine, Matt Costello, Brent Forbes, and Colby Wolinman. Player of the Year finalist Valentine struggled in particular, scoring 13 points and registering 6 turnovers on the afternoon. Also had 4 fouls in that game. All right, the big dance goes on, however, and the field has been reduced to just 16 remaining teams, the Sweet 16. For the first time since 2012, all 4 of the tourney's number 1 seeds have advanced past the first weekend. The most dominant conference thus far has clearly been the ACC. Of the 16 teams left, 6 come out of that conference, which is the most all-time of any conference in the Sweet 16. 3 teams remain from the Big Ten: Maryland, who will take on number 1 seed Kansas, Indiana, who next challenges number 1 seed North Carolina, and Wisconsin, who got a dramatic buzzer-beating 3 from Bronson Koenig to upset Xavier yesterday. The Badgers will next take on Notre Dame. Sunday saw the end of the season for the Michigan State women's basketball team as the Spartans fell in the second round of the NCAA tournament to Mississippi State, 74-72. The final of that one, the Bulldogs led by 13 early in the third quarter, but that's when the Spartans made their move. MSU used a 9-minute, 20-0 scoring run to put themselves back in the game, but the Bulldogs had the answer, and Brianna Richardson nailed a 3 with 34 seconds left to give them the lead for good. Richardson, not a great 3-point shooter, but certainly had the moxie to put that one home. The end didn't come without controversy, though, as it appeared Mississippi State's Kayla Nevitt stepped out of bounds with possession with just 4 seconds remaining. However, it went unnoticed by any official. The Bulldogs await the UConn Huskies in the Sweet 16. They are so good. That's going to be a tall order for Mississippi State. All right, while everyone else was getting ready for St. Patrick's Day celebrations, the MSU baseball team was set for a 3-game weekend with South Florida. The number 25 ranked Spartans cruise past USF 11-1 on Friday's game, but the Spartans fell to the Bulls the next 2 days. Saturday, a 2-0 loss, and the series finale, a 7-5 loss. The unranked Michigan State softball team had themselves quite the weekend, outlasting Bowling Green State in extra innings, 20-13. And MSU dominated the Western Illinois Leathernecks, 11-2, ending the weekend with a loss to UIC, who rallied late in the game to win over the Spartans, 7-5. 6. The Big Ten Conference just completed its third full season supporting hockey. For the first time in those 3 years, the Michigan Wolverines have captured the Big Ten tourney title. The Wolverines defeated regular season champ Minnesota 5-3 on Saturday night to take the trophy. Tyler Mott scored twice and Kyle Connor added a goal and 3 assists to lead the Maize and Blue. Next up for the Wolverines is their first NCAA tournament appearance in 4 seasons as they will square off against Notre Dame in Cincinnati, Ohio on Friday evening. The Detroit Pistons are in a tight race for a playoff spot, and they can't afford to lose tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks. Detroit began their 9-game homestand with a 118-114 loss to Atlanta before it got much easier with 4 straight losing foes. Now, Pistons, they beat Sacramento on Friday and Brooklyn next night. Up next for the Pistons are the Bucks tonight in Orlando. And with Charlotte and Atlanta coming to town later in the week, head coach Stan Van Gundy says that the Pistons will have to compete harder at the defensive end of the floor if they want to come out with the dubs. The Detroit Tigers continued their march to opening day this morning by demoting 9 players to their minor league camp. Of those assigned to the minor leagues are 2 of the team's top 10 prospects, outfielder Mike Gerber and shortstop Jacoby Jones. 43 players remain in major league camp, and the Tigers have a couple of weeks to cut that number down to 40. Ben Simmons, one of the top freshmen in the country, reportedly hiring an agent and throwing in his name in the hat for this year's NBA draft. Simmons said that he is making it official. The 6'10 Australian averaged 19.2 points, 11 boards, and 4.8 assists in the past season for the Tigers, who finished a disappointing 19-14 overall, 11-7 in the SEC, failing to make the NCAA tournament. And incoming Michigan State basketball recruit Cassius Winston has been named Mr. Basketball in the state of Michigan for this basketball year. Now, Winston, who was the runaway winner, will become the 13th Michigan Mr. Basketball to play for Michigan State. Phone lines are open, folks, 517-355-9527. Okay, well, you guys know what we're starting today's show off with, and that being the Michigan State men's basketball team. Again, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, I am still stunned, as many of you are, and I'm sure many of you Spartan fans. What is this? This is day 3 now since Michigan State fell on Friday afternoon to Middle Tennessee State, and I'm sure many Spartan fans out there woke up this morning, and yesterday morning, and Saturday morning, hoping and wishing that what did occur in reality on Friday was just a dream. But it was not, folks. Michigan State falling to Middle Tennessee State. Just really mind-blowing. 90-81, the final of that game. And, you know, now there are a few questions that I would like to pose to you all. Again, I want to get your thoughts on the loss overall. Again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But I do want to pose a few questions when concerning the future of this squad now. Now, we all know, as I just mentioned, you know, Cassius Winston, incoming Michigan State basketball recruit, he has been named Mr. Basketball for this year. And, you know, you look at the talent, incoming talent for this squad, really remarkable. Miles Bridges, one of the highest-ranked prospects Tom Izzo has recruited. He's considered a one-and-done player who will certainly be a prominent draft pick, I think, 1 year in college. 6'7". How about Joshua Langford? He's also a big name that's been thrown around, is going to be an imminent factor. He's 6'6", shooting guard, who can shoot the ball, is freakishly athletic. Nick Ward, you know, Ford, you know. Another big question here is whether or not Deontay Davis is going to be back with this squad next year. And also, if they land Josh Jackson, the nation's number one recruit, according to some services, Jackson is expected to decide soon between Michigan State, Kansas, and Arizona. He's from Detroit, but now is out in California as a California prep school student. Super athletic, just a really good player. But I want to know, you know, since Michigan State didn't win and go as far as expected this season, and next season they're certainly going to have the talent to do so, but if they don't next year, do you think the window is closing for Tom Izzo? Do you think that it's coming to a halt here? Because, you know, and this is the thing about the NCAA tournament. It's so hard to go all the way come March because of the single game elimination format. Having to win and not lose. Well, you got to win like 6 straight. I mean, that's tough. It's really, really tough. That's what makes it so tough. And you know, when come tourney time, what I always say about tourney time is that normally you're playing against teams throughout the regular season that you are accustomed to playing. You know, every conference has a stigma as to a certain style of play. But when you talk about the NCAA tournament, you're normally matched up against a team out of your conference that you don't know much about. And you have to do, you know, scouting in less than a week on that team. And it's all about matchups. So it's so tough around March. But do you think the window is closing for Izzo? I want to know. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. But if you're MSU and you have the talent that you have this year, I should say had now this year. So crazy that I'm saying that. You should have handled business against Middle Tennessee. That's what stings so much. You know, and you heard Izzo at the top of the hour pretty much in tears when talking about his team, talking about his seniors more so and what they meant to this program throughout their 4 years. And again, just the eighth time that a 2 seed loses to a 15 seed. Remarkable year for Michigan State nonetheless, though. They tied a school record for wins, were number one at one point throughout this college basketball year, and they came in as the favorite to win the entire enchilada out in Vegas. But my, oh my, you got to give props where props are due. In Middle Tennessee State, they came in so confident. Kermit Davis, hats off to him. Hats off to Kermit Davis, even though they are now eliminated from tourney play, but to beat Michigan State. I mean, you know, it was interesting hearing the dialogue from the announcers in that game because Kermit was constantly preaching to his team that they were going to win that game. And whenever he was asked in interviews, you know, saying, when we win this game. You know, and it's still a confidence in Middle Tennessee State that was unwavering in that game. And they what was so impressive about the, you know, the Blue Raiders was how well they shot the basketball. My goodness, they were just lights out. They were 11 of 19 from three-point land, 57.9%. From the floor, they shot 33 of 59. 55.9%. So near 60% shooting for this team. That's tough to beat anybody if you're shooting that well. And what Middle Tennessee State was able to do was contain Michigan State's best player, that clearly being Denzel Valentine. Valentine, when looking at his second half production, actually, Valentine failed to score a second half point until there was just 29 seconds remaining. That's how long the scoring drought went for Denzel Valentine on Friday. And he had six turnovers. He finished with, you know, flirting with another triple-double. The man gets triple-doubles in his sleep. 13.6 rebounds, 12 assists. But that doesn't tell the whole story. Again, a great defensive effort by the Blue Raiders on the Spartans on Friday. Because Valentine actually picked up, you know, four fouls, close to fouling out. That's the first time all year we've seen Denzel Valentine pick up four fouls. And it's all about how you start. You know, and you kind of felt this mood. You know, Spartan fans out there felt this mood that, and I felt it too, especially when Brim Forbes started to knock down his deep ball in that second half. No, you felt as though, okay, Michigan State was down. Again, it was a 15-2 start for Middle Tennessee. But you always felt like Michigan State was going to make a run, and this thing was going to open up for them. But that did not happen. Middle Tennessee State answered every single Michigan State run. Point blank, period. And it's all about how you start again. 15-2, Middle Tennessee State. Michigan State went 1-5 from the field to start that game. Oh, I mean, you can't expect to come out lethargic. And again, this isn't a new problem, though. And I want to reiterate this because there's been multiple times throughout this Michigan State men's basketball year where I have said Michigan State, they sometimes start games so slow. And you sit there and wonder, what's going on? The energy just isn't there. And I thought they came out just so relaxed. And I thought from a mental standpoint, I think they underestimated Middle Tennessee State. And Middle Tennessee State came out and just said, you know what? All right, here we go. Game time. So it's shocking. I'm still stunned. I know many of you out there are still trying to process it and put it in perspective. There's really no way to do that. You know, it was just tough, though. You got to feel for the seniors. And another question posing out there that I want to pose out there for you guys is, what do you think the legacy of these four seniors will be now? You know, one of the best senior classes ever. Denzel Valentine, Matt Costello, Bryn Forbes, and Colby Wolliman. You know, for me, Valentine is going to be looked at as just a juggernaut. You know, a player who could do it all from top to bottom. You know, since the assist stat was officially a stat in college basketball dating back to the 80s, no one has averaged at least 19-7-7. I mean, that's redonkulous. Bryn Forbes, he'll be looked at as one of the greatest shooters in Michigan State men's basketball history. And if Michigan State would have advanced in this tournament and made a deep run, he certainly could have challenged that Sean Respert three-point record that he set back in the 90s. Far as Matt Costello goes, he leads Michigan State's men's basketball program in blocks for a career. I mean, that's remarkable. Remarkable. And he had the blunt of his double-doubles this year, his senior year. He got better every single year. And Colby Wolliman just getting better from year to year, being a walk-on. And, heck, we saw more of Colby Wolliman than we did from any other big man besides Matt Costello. But that's where my criticism comes, right there. Great segue into this point, because I really thought that Tom Izzo made a coaching blunder here. I thought that Michigan State, when it was tight in the waning moments of that game, they went away from their bread and butter. What was their bread and butter throughout that entire game? And who was it? It was Matt Costello and feeding the ball in the paint. Matt Costello tied a career high 22 points. They went away from feeding the ball down low, and they got trigger happy. That was a criticism for me. And I don't know why we didn't see Deontay Davis and Matt Costello on the court at the same time. I don't know. I call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before I invite our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, the man behind the glass, Isaac Constance, I want to get to a caller who's on the line right now, on line one. We've got Austin to chat about this game. Austin, how you doing, my man?
Oh, I've had better days. How you doing today, man?
I think we all have had better days. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I tell you what, man. After I was greeted by my man Isaac, I was feeling a little better. So I appreciate Isaac for his soothing voice. That I needed that encouragement.
No,
man, just a couple things. I'll keep it short. I know a lot of people want to call in today. First off, hats off to Middle Tennessee. They were an amazing team. Well, I don't know if they were amazing, but they played an amazing, complete all-around game, dominated 100% of the game. So hats off to Middle Tennessee. But just a couple of things for me. First thing, I think our first mistake was A, being upset that we were a 2-seed and not a 1-seed, because we went into that game with the mindset we deserve better. Why did they do this to us? And that's where our focus was, on being upset about having a 2-seed.
Why do you say that, though, Austin? That's a really poignant point you're making right there. Because I felt like, you know, and of course they're going to say this in the press conference, because I got a chance to talk to Tom Izzo, Denzel Valentine, Bryn Forbes, and who else? And Matt Costello, about being a number 2-seed. Like, literally, right when they found out the news, they're like, hey, whatever, we don't care. You know what I mean? We're just going to go out there and just play. Now, of course, they're going to tell the media that, because they don't want to add any fuel to the fire. But why do you say that Michigan State was upset that they weren't a number 1 seed?
You know, because we won the Big Ten tournament. You know, we won the tournament, even though we suffered some big losses in conference play. We still beat Kansas in the regular season. We beat Kentucky. We beat Providence. We beat some big names in the before conference play started. But just the fan base and just the culture of it all, I feel like we were just unhappy about a 2-seed, and that's where our focus was. And like I say, at the end of the day, you got to go through the bracket to get to the national championship anyway, so take your seeding and play the game of basketball. That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is, I don't think Izzo's job is at risk. I came in a little late, so I don't know if that's what you were saying or not.
Well, no, I was asking if the window was closing for Izzo to win a national championship. If he doesn't do it, again, because this team clearly had the talent to do it this year, They will clearly have the talent to do it next year. They may be ranked number one before they even step on the hardwood next year, looking at the recruiting class they have coming in, especially if Deontay Davis decides to come back and stay another year with this program. If Izzo doesn't get it done next year, is the window closing? That's the question I'm posing today.
Yeah. That name that you just brought up right there is a deciding factor, Deontay Davis, because I agree with you 100% that he should have played more. And you got a McDonald's All-American, and guys looking at that and saying, you know what, Deontay Davis was an All-American. He wasn't in the game in the crunch time. Why do I want to go to Michigan State if I'm going to sit in a bench, sit on the bench if my game is, if I'm not allowed to play my game and do what I do best? And he's a different energy on the court. He catches alley-oops. He tears the rim down every time he gets a chance to. So there's no reason why Deontay Davis was on the bench. And my last issue with, I guess, Michigan State basketball, I graduated from there. I love it. But we've created a culture where we're complacent with getting to the Final Four. We've been to, what, 7 or 8 Final Four, something like that,
seven,
and only one national championship. I'm at a point now where it's like the Final Four is like winning the Big Ten regular season conference play, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, at what point will we turn these Final Fours into national championships? And next year, like you said, man, we will have killer talent, but will that talent be allowed to play their game and flourish the way that, you know, us as fans think they can flourish?
Mm-hmm. Do you think that Izzo's system limits NBA talent who may be one and done? And do you think that's a reason why Izzo historically hasn't gotten that talent? He clearly has it this upcoming year, but do you think that Izzo limits superstars?
I think so. I kind of feel like he did it with Gary Harris, and kudos to Gary Harris for getting out of there. But I think he did it with Gary Harris. I think he kind of messed up Keith Applin a little bit too. So he's a systems coach, and he loves his system. And sometimes he blocks players from reaching their full potential.
That's interesting. But what about Denzel Valentine?
Now he was totally unexpected. Totally unexpected for him to do what he did, and he's a systems player. You know, he grew up playing with his dad, you know, looking up to his older brother. So he's a system player. But you get guys like Gary Harris who are stars and who can play outside of a system but still be able to, you know, have sort of control over what's going on. You got to let those guys go. And I feel like when he has those type of players, he doesn't let them play to their maximum potential.
Austin, a fantastic call, my friend. And I'm curious – you know, I'm pretty sure your bracket is in the trash, just like 99.9% of the population out there. But if you could re-pick right now, looking at what occurred in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, who do you think is going all the way?
You know what? I gotta go with Kansas, either Kansas or Oklahoma, because Buddy Hield, in my opinion, is the Wooden Award winner. So it'll be between Kansas and Oklahoma.
How good was Buddy Hield in that second half yesterday? My goodness. Austin.
Crazy.
Great call, my friend. Appreciate it.
All right. See you. All right. Talk to you later, Al. Talk to you later, Ed.
All right. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. A few interesting points here, Isaac, that Austin made that I'm going to get to in just a second. But your initial take, we heard your voice to start the show. You heard all three. You heard my voice, your voice, Jason Ruff's voice, and Connor Ryan's voice, as we all thought this was going to be a walk in the park, a pretty boring game, and it was the exact opposite. What was your reaction to what occurred on Friday afternoon?
Well, I was working late, so I turned in when it was 15-3, and I was wondering what the heck happened out of the gates to give Middle Tennessee such a big lead. But what stuck out to me is the resiliency of this squad, because immediately after that, they took a lead 20-10, things like that. Before you knew it, 23-22 after a pair of Matt Cassell made free throws. And you know what? They just hung on. It was so many times in that game that was a one-point game and Middle Tennessee rebounded. And what they did, they shot well. They shot well. But they hit 11 threes on that game. Michigan State hit 10. I mean, there was nothing to really separate those two teams in terms of shooting. Yes, Middle Tennessee came out hot, But what happened is they stuck with it. They got to the line, and every time MSU scored, they pushed the ball down the court. They did not give MSU a chance to settle, the crowd to get rowdy, anything like that. They did not allow the tide to turn, and that's why Middle Tennessee was able to win this game, on top of the fact that they played the best game of their life. Reggie Upshaw, that guy looked like a pro. He looked like RJ Hunter from Georgia State. He was absolutely phenomenal throughout the course of that game. And although they missed a bunch of free throws in the game itself, when it came to crunch time, they hit the ones that they really had to. So it was a fantastic performance. And at some level, you have to take your hat off to the Blue Raiders. What I do take away is the ramifications for this game. Two main ones, if you ask me. One, Josh Jackson's main three schools are Arizona, bowed out in the first round, Michigan State, bowed out in the first round, and Kansas. Who looks like the favorite now? And I think it's Kansas. Then it's Denzel Valentine. Unfortunately, he had a phenomenal 4 years at Michigan State. He'll be an excellent pro. But I think that Buddy Hield is now the player of the year because of his tournament play.
Hard to argue with what he did yesterday. I agree with you, man. He just certainly padded a few votes with solidified a few votes with what he did yesterday. I agree. And you know what? About the whole Josh Jackson thing, I just found out some inside information over the weekend. Woo-hoo. And I was sitting there on the sidelines when he first made the visit to Michigan State. What game was it? I forget what game he had visited. But anyway, I forget what game it was, but he was in the stands. And there was a young lady sitting next to him that I immediately recognized. And it's Kersey Grandjagic. And I don't know if you guys know who Kersey Grandjagic is, but she was just named the Gatorade Girls High School Basketball Player of the Year. She balls out at Benton Harbor. I got a chance to see Kersey and her sister, Calabria. If that name rings a bell, Calabria Gondrazik, she balls out for the Michigan State women's basketball team. And I'm sitting there saying, okay. I'm wondering why Kersey's over there. And she's there with Cassius and Miles. Next thing you know, I see on Kersey's Instagram that she is actually dating Mr. Josh Jackson. That is her boyfriend. Kersey is going to Michigan next year. So I'm just saying, I don't know if that's weighing any factor.
If that plays a part, certainly does.
Right, exactly. When you talk about recruiting, right, his girl is going to Michigan. He may want to be closer to her. He's all the way out in California. He's Detroit homegrown. He may want to come to Michigan State and be, 45 minutes away from her. So I'm just saying. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. They're certainly going to have the talent next year to make a deep run. But, you know, going back to Austin's point in his call, I've heard and battled this argument so much when it comes to whether or not Tom Izzo limits players, you know, and does he get the most out of his quote-unquote superstars. And I think you can have that argument to a certain extent, but when you have a guy like Denzel Valentine flourish, or a guy like Draymond Green flourish when he was with this squad, or a guy like Mateen Cleaves floor. I mean, I could go on and on and on. There have been so many great players that have come through this program and put up redonkulous numbers that it's hard to have that argument. And then Austin hits you with Gary Harris. Well, and we all know Gary Harris should have stayed in college at least another year. Agreed. Without a doubt. He's treading water right now in the NBA, I think. He's gotten better, but he's still treading water, I think. But the thing about Gary Harris is, and this is the argument you can make against my belief that Izzo gets the most out of his players, is that the reason why Denzel was so good is because he's a freak of nature. Denzel Valentine makes everyone better around him. He doesn't just score. Gary Harris was just a scorer when he was here. He plays, he got better defensively, but he was just a scorer. So it's hard to compare Harris to Valentine in that context. So I think Austin does have a point, possibly, you know, that's a bullet to his chamber when arguing whether or not Izzo gets the most out of superstars. But Izzo's system has been proven to work.
Yes.
He wins. I mean, he's got 7 Final Fours. You know what I mean? He's tripping over Sweet 16s when he jumps out of bed. You know what I mean? So at the same time, I thought that this was more so a situation of Michigan State not wanting this game as much as Middle Tennessee wanted it. That's what I saw. A few of them plays out there in the last 5 minutes of play, Isaac, those were just, I wanted more plays. You know what I mean? And that's what I saw. And we saw that, and this is another question. It seems like these old questions, whenever I criticize this team this year, seem to come back. I had a question of whether or not, Who is going to step up if Denzel Valentine is not having a great game? Well, that was a question mark on Friday. We saw Matt Costello step up. He had a great game, 22 points, but they went away from him when it mattered most. And Bryn Forbes, you know, he started to not hit. Guys struggled with when Denzel Valentine was struggling. And again, he got into foul trouble again. The first time all year, Denzel Valentine has had four fouls. But we've also seen Michigan State, and I've brought this up multiple times, we've also seen Michigan State come out the gates lethargic. Like something was owed to them. Like, yeah, we got this. Like treating it like a light switch. Like they can just turn it on at any point in the game. And that attitude, I felt like, really nipped the Spartans on Friday. That's all I'm saying. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And you know, I've battled with this question since Friday about, you know, why we didn't see Deontay Davis in the clutch moments of that game and why we even saw, you know, Kobe Wolleman getting more playing time than Deontay in the final minutes of that game. And the only thing I could come up with is that Deontay Davis sometimes mentally checks out throughout a game. I saw a few times. I got a chance to sit behind the Michigan State bench during the Big Ten tournament out in Indy. And I saw a few times where they were in the huddle and they were going through the, you know, different plays and setups. And immediately after the timeout, you know, Deontay would go out there and Awen would just be completely confused. Don't know what's going on. His teammates trying to tell him where he needs to stand, what play it is, just immediately confused. And, you know, Tom Izzo talked about how he felt like the moment maybe was too big for Deontay on Friday, and that's why he didn't play him. So that's the only thing I could come up with. But, man, I just really thought that Michigan State should have just kept feeding the ball down low. I mean, that's the only thing that was working for him on Friday. So, I don't know. Call in 517-355-9527. Let's go to line two right now. We've got our dear friend Jody from Canada on the line. Jody, how you doing, my friend?
No, I think.
Oh, Jody, do we got you?
Must have put it down for just a second.
Oh, Jody, okay, we'll take a quick break then. Jody, stay on the line. We'll get to you after our first break. When we come back, of course, we'll have plenty more talk of the Michigan State men's basketball loss to Middle Tennessee. We'll also talk about the MSU women and what occurred against Mississippi State yesterday. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. And act like I don't care. So when you see me flying by the planet's moon, you don't need to explain if everything's changed. Just know I'm just like you. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, of course, joined by engineer Isaac Constance. Isaac, I want to ask you this question before we get to Jody. I know Jody's on the line right now. As far as Izzo goes, though, let's say Michigan State doesn't win the national championship next year. Because I personally do believe that the window is closing for Izzo. He had the talent to do it this year. Next year, he clearly is going to have a more talented team. But if they don't do it next year, could you see Izzo maybe taking, something like $40 million to go coach in the NBA maybe 1 or 2 years and then right off into the sunset and chuck the deuces?
To be honest, I couldn't. I think next year is more promising than an ultimatum because I think Izzo, the fact that he's able to rein in this recruiting class with still the promise of maybe not all of these guys will be one and done. You and I talked. We don't think Josh Langford's a one and done guy. I mean, just from meeting him, having had conversations with him.
Oh, I totally forgot. He came to our studios.
Oh, yeah.
Totally forgot about that.
He seems like he could be in for the long haul. Yeah. And then you've got Miles Bridges, probably one and done, but I could see him sticking around for two. Deontay Davis, who knows about him? Josh Jackson, if he were to come, that's a one and done player.
But let's say hypothetically, those guys are one
all
and done.
All one and done.
And Izzo hasn't won a national championship in what? That'd be 17 years.
Yep.
Do you think he'll say, all right, maybe I'll take a big paycheck in the NBA and then chuck the deuces and say bye-bye to basketball.
I think it's once the culmination of bad recruiting classes plus bad results starts that Izzo might be able to say that. But if he's getting all of this talent, I think that's a good sign for the program. The Breslin just put in that $50 million renovation. I think Izzo's here for a nice long stay. And as far as Izzo limiting stars, too, if that's the common perception amongst recruits, I think Izzo breeds a different type of star, different brand.
Certainly.
Denzel Valentine, Draymond Green, you look at those four-year players.
He's not going to baby you.
Yeah, they're triple-double maestros.
Right.
So basically, there's a Santa Claus with the assists, handing them out here and there. And that's what you should instill in a player mm-hmm. in their time in college. Look at the Ben Simmons experiment over at LSU. They didn't make the tournament. So as bad as this result is for LSU, you'd rather have this with your star having the worst game of the season, six turnovers, compared to a player who is just going to be a one-man team and ruin the entire project.
And it's also a question of character as well, because, you know, the superstars that Michigan State has over the years that Tom Izzo breeds, they're unselfish, just like you said.
They are.
You know what I mean? But most of the prima donnas that we see in basketball, they want the basketball all the time. They're selfish. They want to get
exactly.
their shots. They want to get their numbers. So you certainly have to be a certain type of player to play for Tom Izzo. Let's go to line two right now. We've got Jody from Canada on the line. Jody, how you doing?
All the time. They're selfish. They want to get their shots. They want to get
Jody,
their numbers.
Turn down your radio for me. That's my voice we're hearing.
Player to play for Tom
Jody?
Let's go to line two right now. We've got Jody from Canada on the line. Jody, how you doing?
Okay. This is weird.
This is funny.
Ray, this is Jody?
Funny.
Jody.
Hello?
We got you. Is your radio turned down, Jody? Hello? Jody. Is he there? Okay, Jody is not there. That had to be the weirdest moment ever in caller history. I've never had that happen before. All right, call in 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Again, we want to get your calls on the Michigan State men's basketball loss to Middle Tennessee on Friday. What do you think? Where does this team next year go from here? And how much do you think this will be? This will certainly be fueling Michigan State next year. But as far as the talent and the incoming recruits they have, if the job, I'm just saying hypothetically here, if the job doesn't get done next year, do you think Tom Izzo will stay as the Michigan State men's basketball head coach? And of course, he's not going to be fired. This is Tom Izzo we're talking about. Would he walk away? I don't know. What do you think? Because I do believe the window is closing. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's go to line two. I think we have him now. Let's cross our fingers here. Jody from Canada. We got you, Jody. Okay. I don't think we have Jody anymore. Jody, turn down your radio, man. All right. Let's hit our second break, Isaac. Let's hit our second break. We'll try one more time. When we come back, I'll recap what took place with the Michigan State women's basketball team as they fell in a nail biter to Mississippi State. That and more here on WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, March 21st, 2016. Call in 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Mike from Saginaw. Sag Nasty in the house. Mike, how you doing, my friend?
How you been? What's up, man?
My man.
Tough weekend. I was going to tell you, let me go to my pop culture reference before we get to talking about basketball. Did you hear about Kendrick Lamar's this record he released was just number one.
Yeah, untitled. It's the untitled album that didn't make his latest Grammy, 11-time Grammy award winning album, To Pimp a Butterfly. As soon as it came out that night, Mike, you know it downloaded to my phone. That's my favorite artist. So shouts out to K-Dot, man. I think he's the best hip-hop artist in the game right now.
I thought he was that was really nice when he released that record. It wasn't like his promotional, you know, his album, but you know, he was just showing a side of him that people often don't see. So that was really neat.
They were tracks that didn't make the cut for To Pimp a Butterfly. So he wanted to still get them out there, and it's a remarkable album. Remarkable.
They're remarkable. Hey, you know about Michigan State was, I think sometimes the better team won, man, that night.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really did. I mean, Middle Tennessee State really was just a better team, man, for that night. Probably 7 out of 10 Michigan State would have beat them. Because Michigan State had more talent than they did.
Right.
Middle Tennessee State. You know, sometimes you could play out. You could have an out-of-body experience, man. You can really play like you really, you know, you can be so into it, man, that you're unstoppable sometimes. And that would happen, man. You notice they came back down to earth after Syracuse played them, though.
Mike, the glaring stat that stands out to me is that Middle Tennessee, they shot 58% from the three-point line, and they shot 56% overall from the floor. That will never happen again if Michigan State and Middle Tennessee met. You know, it was just one of them nights. It's one of them games, man, where you just kind of just, you know, throw your hands up and say, what more can you do? You know, Giddy Potts, man, I see why he leads the nation percentage-wise in three-pointers made. I mean, he was unbelievable. He was unbelievable that game.
He really was. You know, they free throw shooting was not part of their game either, but, I mean, they did what they had to do. Here's what I like to talk about. It's something about Tom Izzo, the way he talks to the media and everything. Do you think he really does a good job? He shows his own human side more than he should, because a lot of coaches, like, you always see the coaches at the press conference when the team played well, they always harping on what they didn't do right and everything. But here, he shows something that he really was into he showed the human side of him in the press conference, man. He shouldn't get kicked for that, man. And I think really a great selling, great gift of his.
Why do you bring it up, Mike? Are people getting on him and giving him some flack for showing some emotion in the press conference?
You know what? Sometimes I think that's what happens sometimes on talk radio stuff, because, you know.
Have you heard that? Who said that? I'm curious. Where'd you hear that from?
You know, I mean, sometimes you listen to some of these talk show hosts and everything. They do make them out to be something that they're not sometimes. I really do.
Well, some of
the commercial outlets.
I've always said that I have had the best time in my career so far interviewing Tom Izzo, just because of what you just said, Mike, because he keeps it real. He keeps it real with you. What you see with Tom Izzo is what you get. He's going to give you an honest 100% answer when he holds his press conferences or when you're just casually talking to him. And that is something I've always appreciated, because in the world of sports journalism, how many times do we hear the cliche things from athletes and coaches alike, all right? So I've always appreciated Tom and the emotion that you saw when talking about his four seniors after that game, after Friday's loss to Middle Tennessee State, was real. It was genuine, and it shows that he cares. That's how much he cares, showing those tears. So I don't see a problem with that at all. And those who are criticizing for Izzo about that don't know what the heck they're talking about. Simple as that.
That's what, you know, because they try to get the callers to call in and rant and rave sometimes. Here's another thing about coaches. I see Tony Bennett fainting on the sideline, Roy Williams fainting on the sideline, and stuff. Is Sean Miller sweating through his shirt? Do you think that job is not a job to be all cracked up to be like they get a lot of money?
Hey, they it's dollar bill, y'all. But at the same time, it's a very stressful job when your job description. You pretty much got to win. You have to win. So, hey, it's a stressful job, man. And they did a sports science on Tom Izzo and measured his blood pressure throughout the course of a college game on the sidelines, and it's scary when you look at his numbers and how his blood pressure was elevating, his heartbeat, you know, started racing. It's really, really a stressful job. Hey, Mike, great call, my friend. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, do we have Jody on now?
No, Ray is on.
We've got Ray. We've got Ray from Indiana on, who wants to talk about, of course, his favorite team of all time, the Michigan Wolverines, as they fell to Notre Dame as well this past weekend. Ray, how you doing?
Skipper, happy weekend it was. What a happy weekend. They were up by 12 at halftime, and I went to bed, and I said, God's going to take a miracle. It's only going to take you to beat them up, and they did. He took the chocolates out he stole from me years ago, and he gave them all the chocolate, and then the luck of the Irish just tapped right over the bullies like it always does. Another loss. Bad season for John Beilein. If you ever see the puppet John Beilein, ask him if he ever remembers Ray Berger giving him chocolates and Hail to Victor's infants and him hiding them behind the couch and then coming and dragging them out as he left and then telling me he's going to call me and he didn't call me. You know, that guy ain't got no integrity. He's got low class like the whole program does down there.
Yeah, well, you know, Michigan fell to Notre Dame, folks, this past weekend. 72-63 was the final of that game. And that was pretty – I mean, a lot of people saw that one coming, though, Ray. I mean, it was very impressive, though, I must say, to see what John Beilein was able to do. Again, getting that win over Indiana that really put them in the tournament for a play-in game. And matching up against Notre Dame, just a tall order. I thought Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman, I mean, he really led that team against Notre Dame. 15 points for him. And Derek Walton, he threw up 10. But just a tall order going against guys like V.J. Beachum, who had 18. Bozzy Colson, 12 points for him. And Zach August, who was also in double digits. And Demetrius Jackson as well. I got to give a shout-out to him. He was very efficient from the floor. He shot actually 50%. So it was inevitable. We saw that one coming, though. Right, Ray?
Yeah. You know, now I was right. They shouldn't have been in the tournament. But let's go on to some other things. Al, I couldn't believe you guys got beat by that team, but they were making threes with guys all over in their face.
Right.
They turn around the next game against Syracuse. They looked terrible against Syracuse. Then I want to tell you about some other things. Northern Iowa, they got a 12-point lead with 30 seconds left. They lose their point guard. They can't. They throw down the field one time for a dunk. But they never went to the middle of the floor. How do you keep throwing the ball to the corners like that? Kurt Warner was there, and he gave a guy a high five for giving a half-court shot, and he was there at that other game. He must have been in shock that they blew that game with 12-point lead. They had 13 million entries, and nobody's been right after the Michigan State game.
You know, I was watching that game, Ray, and it was very entertaining. You know, going to double overtime. But, man, oh, man, was the execution poor or what by Northern Iowa? And Texas A&M, they made a few blunders as that game went into overtime as well in clutch moments. But, yeah, I agree. I mean, they had a 12-point lead, an 11-point lead, actually, with 1 minute left. And then a 12-point lead with, like 30 seconds left. And, you know, Texas A&M, they didn't give up. They you know, really stifled them with a four-court press that had them, you know, making some errant decisions. But Northern Iowa should not have lost that game. They have to be feeling like crap today.
Oh, I know. It's something the old kids will have to live with all their life. But their biggest problem was when they did get the ball in, it was always to the corners where three guys could get on them. You got to throw that ball to the middle of the floor.
Yeah.
Where you can have some space for these guys to move.
Exactly. I agree. I mean, and the other thing, they're young. It's college basketball. You know, and you're on a stage like that in the tournament, one game elimination. I really thought nerves played a factor in that game as well when Texas A&M, I mean, the momentum really bolted in their favor as that game went to that second overtime.
Michigan State, all it takes is Valentine had one bad game.
Exactly.
And it had to be in that game.
Yep.
And that'll cost you getting in the tournament. When Indiana, I didn't think they could beat Kentucky, but they did. I mean, it seemed like after Indiana got beat by Michigan these last two games, they were so ticked off. It seems like a lot of times it takes a loss, like in your tournament, to get you ready for the NCAA tournament.
Very true. Very true. My man Ray, great call.
All right, God bless you, buddy.
All right, thank you, Ray. I got to make this point, Isaac, before we get off the airwaves, and it's Ray's last point is kind of a nice segue. I think it's telling that the two teams that played in the Big Ten tournament title game, Purdue and Michigan State, went out in the first round of the bracket. I think it's telling. I don't think that's any coinkydink. But a team like Indiana, who got beat by the Michigan Wolverines before the weekend even started in the Big Ten tournament, felt they looked like they were rested against Kentucky. They looked keen and focused. I think that's telling that the Big Ten tournament, unless you're like a fringe team like how Michigan was this year, that you maybe need a few wins to get in and pad that resume. But for a team that's at the top of the Big Ten Conference, you get absolutely nothing by being a top seed playing in the Big Ten tournament title game. Or playing in the Big Ten tournament title. You get nothing out of it. I much rather would have had Michigan. I would have liked Michigan State to go out the first game. It means nothing. Michigan State winning the Big Ten tournament title game means absolutely nothing. And that's also a point I wanted to make, too. Because I thought that they could have used that moment for some rest. Especially the way Denzel Valentine, the minutes he's been logging.
Well, first off, I just have to say the phone is fixed. So we actually got that all resolved. And if Jody wants to call back tomorrow,
please do,
we definitely encourage it. But Al, I've got to ask you, do you think that's more exhaustion or maybe a false sense of security and pride that making the Big Ten championship gives you, saying if we can get through all of these teams, getting through Middle Tennessee or Arkansas, Little Rock won't be a problem?
Look at Purdue. You know, Purdue played in that game as well.
But do you think it's exhaustion or pride?
I think it's exhaustion, if you ask me. It's exhaustion. You know, having... Because what? Indiana went out Friday of the week prior to the NCAA tournament.
True.
That's a lot of time to sit back, relax, rejuvenate, and get your mind right. Literally, an hour after Michigan State cuts down the nets in Indy, they have to switch that mindset to the NCAA tournament. The NCAA tournament. I don't get that. I don't understand why do they play all the right up to tourney time. I don't understand. I really think it needs to be changed. Before we get out of here, though, Isaac, the Michigan State women's basketball team falling to Mississippi State. I don't know if you saw that game, but it ended in a really just disheartening way. And Graham Couch wrote a very interesting column talking about how it was very unfair for Michigan State not to host the first round of the NCAA women's basketball tourney. Because I tell you what, I watched that entire game from start to finish against Mississippi State yesterday, and home court advantage was so important in that game. Mississippi State, they packed the rafters from the top of the ceiling all the way down. And when Mississippi State needed big buckets down the stretch, I thought that momentum played vital to Mississippi State pulling out that game. And Michigan State should have had at least one more shot to at least tie that game or win it with the three, seeing as though that the Mississippi State's player was out of bounds and the refs totally missed it with 3 seconds to go.
I'm totally with you. Big buckets and big calls. If that's home court, Michigan State walks away with the W, advances to play UConn.
Very, very true. All right, folks, we are out of time. Oh, boy, plenty of talk today. Of course, focused on that Michigan State Middle Tennessee loss. We'll be back at it tomorrow, same time, same place. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a great afternoon, and be easy, people.